Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard. Not the billiards. It was...
Billiards room.
Come on already. Come on. We call it the...
The place to be.
The place to be. Yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said.
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Isn't that what I just said? What is wrong with you?
Is it the Pelicans? I didn't know it was the Pelicans.
Oh,
I
like,
nothing
like,
about the Pelicans.
Yes.
I worked during the fucking day, okay? Well, then what's the point of...
Scott Russo. What would be the point of that?
What's the point of giving the Rockers theme? I don't know! You know what? I'm from now on just going to read. And if you want to comment, be my guest.
Just read things that are up to date. How about that?
Just shut up. I'm done. I'm not talking about it.
I don't know what the fuck the Department of Health is.
To do worse than Josh Richer.
Yo, Willie, make we roll some weed. Mad charge, nigga, now I must proceed. Yo, we about to make moves, set speed. Beast who made me fight, Q-tip, at least I need. Watch me knock you out like Apollo Creed. Body blows, busting your shit, making you bleed. Just feed more dynamic flows.
Place to be Nation. Welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you here on this Wednesday evening for some headlines fun. And to do that, of course, I need to bring in the man who's my main headline, Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
Good evening, JR. Always good to talk to you. Welcome to PTB Nation to episode 198.
Next week.
Finally. 200 coming up next week. And let me tell you something, PTB Nation. If you like episode 100, which we thought was pretty good, You're going to faint in hilarity.
It's not overpump this thing.
All right, It's pretty good. Different. We'll leave it at this. It's a different approach than we did to 100.
Yeah, it'll be different. Something interesting.
Very different. Yeah, a little different than 100. So
kind of it's almost like a variety show.
Yeah, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a little bit. Okay. Tonight, of course, with us the Wednesday heading into our second WWE pay-per-view of 2013. It is headlines night.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight, of course, we will peruse the goings-on in wrestling. Now, the way we're going to do it tonight is a little different than we normally do. Thanks to you, PTB Nation, and to the awesome growing once again of our board, bigelow34.proboards.com. We are going to kind of talk about the current state of wrestling based on what we do on the board. And for those that have not dived in yet, I do a weekly blog on the four main shows on television right now in professional wrestling. That is, of course, Monday Night Raw, Main Event, Impact, and SmackDown, and of course my PIC, because I don't get it on regular TV. He does Ring of Honor. So tonight we're going to kind of go in kind of in that vein.
Yeah, basically, instead of, you know, normally we do kind of a state of the promotion, or we're doing weekly headlines, we just review the shows proper. But you know, since Scott's doing this, so we have a reference point to go on. We're going to mix up these headlines now when we do these every 3 to 6 weeks in between pay-per-views. Basically, we're going to review our thoughts on the five shows, including Ring of Honor, how they've been since we last did headlines, and then we'll preview the pay-per-view. And then we will do just a couple of big stories. So instead of reading down a list of, you know, smaller news stories, we picked like one or two big ones that we can really break down. And then we have some other fun and games at the end of the show. But Scott, first, before we get going, I want to tell you about my day yesterday. So,
I see.
As you know, it was obviously we got hit with a crazed blizzard over the weekend.
Yes, we did.
And the way my house is set up, as you know, the front is on a hill. So
yes.
The water, of course, runs down said hill and piles up in the driveway. Mm-hmm. So me, you know, half asleep still at 7:25 yesterday morning, go clomping down the steps, step on the driveway, and like Daniel Stern in Home Alone, I went flying on my back.
Oh, no.
So I was hurting. It took me a minute to recollect myself and get up. Luckily, from years of backyard wrestling, I know how to fall. So as I felt myself going, I tucked my chin and tried to displace the displace the brunt of the force of the drop.
You took the bump.
Yes, I did. So anyway, so I picked myself up, look around, make sure no one saw me, and drive off. Now, I have my dad's truck because he was babysitting, so we switched cars. And he has like a little Ford Ranger, so no weight in the back. So I'm driving, and I hit one little patch of black ice, and I kind of, you know, almost lose it a little bit, and I'm driving along. So I get to another spot. It's a little bend, and the car in front of me kind of slows up, so I slow up. And I wasn't even going that fast. I could have been going more than 15. And I friggin' hit the patch of black ice and slide into a snowbank. So the truck drives over basically like this mound of ice snow, and I am burning rubber in your motherfucking face, and I cannot get out. I'm stuck in the snowbank. So now it's, you know, time is ticking. I'm supposed to be at work at 8, so I email my boss, and I'm like, oh, there's no way. All I put is, I'm stuck in a snowbank. I'm going to be late. So now I don't know what to do. I'm debating, should I call AAA? I call my dad, and he's like, well, do you want me to come meet you to help you push the car? And I'm like, no, go, you know, get to the house to babysit. I didn't want to call the cops, so I ended up happened to look over, and there was like a kettlebell gym, you know, like one of those smaller where it's basically just physical training or personal training, not like a full gym. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy walking in. So I yell over, and he was nice enough to let me borrow a shovel. So I'm on the side of the road, digging the car out with a shovel, just mounds of snow. I'm pinned between this huge mountain of snow and the car with one hand shoveling and propping myself up with the other hand, waiting for hoping some other car didn't hit the black ice and slide into me. It was a very hectic half hour or so, and I was hurt by the time I got to work between shoveling one-handed blocks of ice and falling in the driveway. I was hurt. It ended up being an okay day, though. I thought for sure my day was doomed after that. I was ready to just turn home and go to bed, but ended up being an okay day. But the morning, the first hour or so that I was awake was torturous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the black ice is the bigger problem, because the problem is we're caught in between, because it's not exactly warm out during the day, but it's been pretty sunny
right. Every
day since Friday night, Friday and Saturday morning. It's been pretty much sunny every day. So snow is melting. The problem is it's not staying in the moderate temperatures of cold at night. It's dipping pretty chilly.
Getting really cold.
And we're kind of it's getting really cold. So we're kind of screwed either way. So we're gonna have that problem for the next week or so, because there's gonna be so much melting.
Yep.
And so much ice. I have a lot of patches on my. In fact, what's weird is my parking lot here where I live. I share a parking lot with a medical building. The plow job when I got
very
back
fitting.
On Sunday
so,
night
when you bust your hip and everything else.
Yeah.
You can just...
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But well, hopefully they'll pay for a better plow guy, because when I got here on Sunday, the plow job was absolutely horrendous. Patches everywhere and parking spots missing, and I'm like, what chump came in here with, you know, a motor scooter or something? So yesterday I'm sitting here and I'm finishing up my Raw review, and I hear noises outside. I go outside. The plow guys came back 3 days later to finish the job. So I don't know who paid them, but maybe they want to wait for it to loosen up a bit, get a little wet. And but now the parking lot looks fine. So, but
well,
they,
anytime you can loosen,
you should always get good plow people.
Anytime you can loosen it up and get a little wet, it's always good. So.
Exactly, of course. And for those that are one more thing about this, and then we'll move on to the fun stuff. Bill Finch, who is the mayor of Bridgeport, who's a putz, is saying on like News 12, not even News 12 Connecticut, like News 12 Bronx, News 12, you know, Manhattan. Connecticut did an absolutely wonderful job.
What?
Of doing the. That's why I'm moving to Charlotte. I'm moving in with Graham. I'm moving in Graham's basement. I can't deal with this anymore. I won't do it, you know, right now for the sake of my mother, but and sometime down the line when she reaches the pearly gates and joins my dad, I'm getting out of here. I've had it with the state. It's a piece of crap. The mayor is a putz. You know the mayor, because he handled the wonderful city of Stamford that you used to work in, and remember how great that town was plowed during every storm. God, that one town, that one apartment building you lived in, remember? Maybe you had like half a space. Could you imagine living there now?
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Where would your Jeep be? It'd be on the roof. It was awful.
Well, the Boca Vista always has a room for you, Scott. So whenever you're ready to head down south, the retirement home will be open.
Excellent. It's either him or it's Ashley Cruz. Speaking of Ashley Cruz, I think that's close to where Raw was on Monday night. Mm-hmm. It was his backyard. So anyway, that's that. The weather sucked. The snow sucked. And hopefully looking forward to the spring. And of course, now everybody's saying, oh, my God, what if 2 feet fall April 7th? And it's not going to.
No. Yeah. I mean,
rain. I'm concerned about.
I can see the legit concern about the Super Bowl next year, but not.
Yeah, that's gonna be a mess.
Yeah.
That's going to be a mess. Mania, by the way, at the end of the show or at some point in the show, I want to just go over quickly some of the updates in terms of the WrestleCon coming up that Saturday afternoon. It's getting pretty jacked now.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that the next headlines guests, so. When we're getting closer to Mania.
Yeah, that's true. But at some point in the next, maybe next month when we get closer, we'll do the list of, we got a lot to do tonight. But it's a fun, a lot of fun guys that'll be there on that Saturday. But
all right, so let's break down the five shows. A lot of you are probably in the same situation I am, and not as lucky as my PIC to get to watch a Ring of Honor on your television.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be good for, so JR will have a nice update on that. But we'll begin at the top. And before I could begin, I again want to thank everyone who has chipped in with comments and have given me some advice and critiqued and just commented in general. That means you're reading it, and that means a lot to me because the 2 hour shows and main event are fine, but you know when we record at the end of on Monday nights and then you know I got to start Raw, it gets a little draining. So I appreciate everyone reading and giving their comments. All right, let's start with Raw. One thing about the pros of Raw. Number one, a lot of matches. In 3 hours, how many matches on average, JR? Seven?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of the benefits of the three-hour show. There are a lot of negatives out of going 3 hours, but one of the positives has been a lot more ring time and a diversity in those guys that get that ring time, which has been good. So that's been one of the positives. We usually get one or two very good matches a week.
Yeah, and it's been good to see different guys and things have developed and since I've been grading matches and ranking them, at least the top three of the week, which I've done the last 2 weeks, Raw had two last week. The week before, I think I don't think Raw had any. I think SmackDown dominated the week before.
Well, it's really been the last two Mondays have been really good. Before that, Raw was struggling, but last week's show I thought was very good. And this week's was just maybe not as good, but maybe a step behind. But both strong efforts on Monday night here. So it looks like we're heading into the chamber on a high note, and hopefully they can keep that building towards Mania.
Yeah, I agree. Another pro is, again, we've seen a lot of guys get chances. And the key thing this past Monday night, and I documented it on my blog, and a lot of people commented, what a night for heels on Monday night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. You want to talk about character development.
Yeah, it was heel
heavy. For Mark Henry. This was my brother's dream of a Raw. From Mark Henry to Jack Swagger to Antonio Cesaro to even though he lost, great promo by Sandow, and, of course, the great promo at the beginning with Punk and Heyman. The heels are just getting a chance to enhance their characters in such great ways and all using their strengths. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, that's the key.
And no surprise, too, that this uptick in quality of Raw's, featured a lot of Paul Heyman the last 2 weeks. Punk's had a decent amount of airtime, but Brock being back in the house and that stuff has helped as well. And, I think Heyman's a key factor. I think, you don't realize maybe how much we've missed him over the last handful of years that he's been gone and how good of a character he can be. You know, not only his talents backstage as a booker, but just on screen. I mean, when's the last time he was an on-screen character? 2004 when he was GM, right? Heading into Mania 20. Was that then after that? Well, then he did that little run with Taker, right? And the Dudleys and that shit.
Yeah. But that was 2004 too.
Yeah,
that was
so,
like middle.
Yeah, after 2004, he went backstage to work on One Night Stand, and then he went to do ECW and everything. So, really, he hasn't been an on-screen character since 2004, we'll say. So, he's a guy that's really just been missed, and he's such a quality performer.
I guess it was that stretch, was it 2005, right before One Night Stand? But, that wasn't that much.
Yeah, but he wasn't really. I mean, not like this. Not where he's in a character that's on every week
right.
and playing a major role. It hasn't been since he was GM that's really been the case. The promo he cut 2 weeks ago with, denying it was him talking to Brad Maddox, that was unbelievably great. I mean, it was so absurd, but you could almost believe him. You're like, well, he's telling the truth. I don't know.
That wasn't Paul Heyman. That was Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, I mean, that was great. And then the next week was equally, this past week was good as well. And I saw a lot of people complaining that it was kind of pointless, and I guess it was, but, it was still a good promo. It didn't lead to much,
right.
But it was still a good chance to hear him and, Punk shoot the shit and tell an elaborate, hokey story for a little bit, so.
Right, yeah, no. So that's been the pluses. More matches. The crossovers from SmackDown to Raw have been a little It'd been fun to watch. I mean, Orton and Ziegler. I mean, although technically, what show is Ziegler even on?
The worst part is, though, this is a big negative to me on Raw, is the booking of him, because, you know, he jobs every week. When is has he won a match on Raw since you started reviewing?
No.
I'm curious. No. So maybe one of our stat guys out there can track this down for us and post it on the Facebook page. When's the last time Dolph won a TV match? It seems like it's been forever since he beat Cena at TLC. And since then, I feel like he's lost every match. And, you know, it's a testament to the quality of his performance that he's still pretty over and that he's still booked in a position of strength and eventually going to be world champion, I think, when he cashes in. But, I mean, at some point, you got to stop beating this guy, right?
Oh, absolutely. And here's where the cons come in. Number one, and this is obviously the biggest thing, the show is just too long. It's just too long. 3 hours is a long time. And I'm being a little selfish here because, you know, after you and I record a show on a Monday night and I start writing it, this week I had to do a Tuesday. I just ran out of gas. I didn't want it to start sounding like gibberish.
It's the opposite effect to me. It feels like it goes by kind of quick because I'm watching it while we're recording. So I'm for the first like 2 hours, I'm kind of half watching. And then I just really just watch the last hour. But like I said, it has its pros and cons. I mean, if we went back to 2 hours, we'd probably lose a lot of the quality match time we're getting, I'm guessing.
In my opinion, JR, this is where, and this is when we get into the next show, this is where main event comes in.
Right. Well, I don't want to get to that yet, though. Let's finish Raw before you make that point.
Yeah, sure. But okay. So it shows too long. Number two, I feel like... if there's no give me a reason whether guys that are on SmackDown are actually SmackDown or guys that are on Raw are actually on Raw. Dolph is not on SmackDown yet. He's carrying the World Heavyweight Title briefcase. Are we even supposed to pay attention to that anymore? Can he do anything now? Are we supposed to forget? Like, I'm lost when it comes to that.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, I have no idea what's going on there.
I mean, they need to shit or get off the pot. I mean, you know, I've been actually one of the proponents of the brand split. I know there's a lot of people who always say end it. But if you go back even like 3 or 4 years, I mean, it still meant something and it still worked well and it still led to matches that were like, oh, wow, you know, these two guys haven't fought in a while. But it's been, you know, pretty ridiculous this year lately in the last couple of years, honestly, when they've really just blurred the lines. And, you know, maybe they should look at ending it. But just because you end it doesn't mean you have to have everyone on both shows every week. You can still have some guys on Raw and some guys on SmackDown. It just won't be brands specific, and you'll have, you know, then you can decide what you want to do with the titles. I guess you want to combine them all. I mean, I think it does behoove them to have a couple of titles. You could probably just do there's only one tag champions, right?
Yes, there is. Okay. Yep.
So you could probably just combine, maybe you keep the IC and US and then combine the world, something like that.
Well, that's the biggest that's the 400 pound gorilla in the room is the two big titles. But so that's my pros and cons of Raw. Now, this past week's Raw was excellent. Yeah, last 2 weeks I've been good, but this one this past week was particularly good.
You know what I dug? I liked the six man because it felt very old school to me. Like, these three guys haven't teamed before, so they're gonna get a warm up match in before the pay per view. Mm-hmm. Reminded me of before SummerSlam 91 and the SummerSlam Spectacular, Tornado, Bulldog, and Dragon teamed up against the three Orient Express. It was like mind blowing to see Sato, Tanaka, and Kato all on one team. And they all teamed up and fought those three guys to warm up for their match at SummerSlam. So I like that kind of thing to me. And they put it in the middle of the show, and you know they had a solidified three man unit for them to face, and I thought it was cool. And that finishing sequence was awesome where they all hit the finisher at the same time.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
You find it interesting though that of the three, Cena was getting the most, you know, either tepid reaction or booze straight?
Oh, he was flat out booed. Yeah. He was flat out booed. By the way, who do you think jobbed in that six man? Kato.
Of course he did. Did you really look it up, or you're just guessing?
No, I'm guessing.
Oh, I'm going to look it up and find out now because I'm curious. I cherished that match. When Sato had been gone for like, you know, almost a year or, you know, 9 months at that point, and all of a sudden he popped back up for this one match, and my mind was just blown. I'm like, where the hell did this guy come from? It was unbelievable. Kato. So,
all right. I mean, the feed me more chance were getting ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's getting way really over again. It seemed like he was getting tepid, and now it seems like it's picking back up.
Yeah. Have you seen the tights he's going to be wearing at the chamber?
No, I have not.
It says feed me more on top, and then there's a picture, then there's painted on the front a shield with Reigns, Rollins, and Ambrose's faces.
That's cool.
It's actually pretty cool, yeah. By the way, the Shield has their first T-shirt. It says "Justice is not free." Justice isn't free on the back of it. So it's good that they took a. Our man Johnny Reckless was happy that they took an Ambrose quote. So,
well, Scott, you were correct.
Kato!
Steamboat, Davy Boy, and Kerry Von Erich defeated the Orient Express when Steamboat pinned Kato with a flying crossbody at 10:28. Here's the rest of that card. Road Warrior Hawk defeated Brian Knobbs with a flying clothesline at 7:40. Bret Hart pinned the Barbarian at 11:52 by reversing a power slam. The aforementioned six-man. Hogan defeated Slaughter by DQ when Adnan and Mustafa interfered and the Sid came out. And Virgil defeated a mystery man after blocking an attempted knee drop. Apparently a mystery man was portrayed by Barry Darso, so it's kind of odd. I don't know if it was someone in a mask. I really don't remember that.
I wonder who the mystery man was.
I don't know. There's also a barbershop episode with Sherry as a guest where she discussed the wedding of Savage and Elizabeth.
Oh, very interesting. So there's your pros and cons of Raw, in my opinion, so far. I have enjoyed it. A lot of things need to be done. I'm really the 3 hours. I hope they start to think things over and maybe think about going back to 2 hours. USA can't be pleased with that. Oh, by the way, on a side note, remember I was talking to you earlier in the week, Monday, about the whole Raw is being split. Some of the DVRs on some cable networks had Raw split into three separate. That's going to be permanent. USA wants that.
Well, it makes sense for the ratings, I guess.
Yeah. So for everybody, and I have to do it for my DirecTV, for everybody who DVRs Raw, you're going to have to DVR 8 to 9, 9 to 10, and 10 to 11 separately. And I think 10 to 11 will have the overload. So it'll be like 10 to like,
yeah, right.
You know, 11, 20 or whatever. Mine goes 11, 20. So, yeah. So just a side note about that.
All right. So there's Raw. And, you know, when we do the next headlines, JR, which will be that, you know, that Wednesday before WrestleMania. So we got a ways to go. But, although, maybe we'll do a TV update as part of a show in between. Maybe not a Mania preview, but we should definitely go back to this, you know, shorter than the – because, I mean, obviously the WrestleMania gap's wide. But in any event, we'll see how Raw – because Raw obviously will be very important between now and then. We still got probably three more Hall of Fame announcements minimum. Usually they like a seven-person class or seven.
Yeah, I'm not sure who else. I mean, at this point, it's going to be lower level people because you already have you have enough headliners at this point.
Yeah. Well, I was saying somebody at work today, how do they base a Hall of Fame class? I said usually they have one huge main eventer. In this case, this year two, three pretty solid mid card guys, a tag team, a diva, and either a celebrity or a dead guy. Well, we got the main eventers, Mick and Bruno, obviously. Right. We haven't actually talked about – we got to get into that in a minute because we haven't really talked about –
we'll talk about it now.
Yeah. So obviously it has finally happened. The living legend, the true living legend, Bruno Sammartino, will be going into the WWE Hall of Fame Saturday night, April 6th at Madison Square Garden. Hell froze over. That's really all you could say. I never thought – I mean, when I interviewed him – and I'm going to try and find the clip that my friend Mike from GetThePointRadio.com has. The interview I did with Bruno back in 2009 at the Wizard World Comic Con in Manhattan, he was like, never doing it. Not doing it. He was also upset that there was an actual Hall of Fame building, which I think we're all kind of bummed about. but I know there'll be one eventually. But I honestly never thought this would happen. Never.
Well, I think it's a few things. One, I think they finally waived enough cash. And from what Meltzer was saying, basically Bruno gave them a number that he never thought they'd match. And they said, okay. So I think that caught him off guard. You know, his party line is that, well, they've cleaned up and, you know, they've got the drug thing under control. And it's, you know, it's not the tawdry mess that, you know, I always hated it and all this other stuff. And I think Hunter really just, you know, staying on him and really pushing him. Towards, I think that helped as well. And of course, you know, they're going to do the DVD and the Legends deal, and they're trying to buy the rights to his movie, and they're really going to focus him. And it seems like they want him to be the face now of the Legends. You know, Hogan's obviously not in good standing, and they really haven't had anyone. You know, Austin's not really of that ilk, and they haven't really had anyone that can step in that role as the ambassador, the old school ambassador. And now Bruno, I think, will be that. And I think they're going to do a lot of re-education of their fans of Bruno, a guy they haven't really talked much about over the last, you know, 5 or 10 years. So it'll be interesting to see how much they really focus on him. But, of course, it's going to be a great night. I'm stoked we're going to be there live to see both
Can you believe, it?
Yeah, both and Backlund, and is enough for me. And then you're going to have Foley's speech, which is going to be fantastic. Plus, you know, Terry Funk's probably going to induct him, which is pretty awesome. So we're gonna hear a lot of good speeches that night. And if I had a guess, I still think Tommy Dreamer is going to go in probably. I think it makes sense in New York, and he's a good low-level guy. I wouldn't be surprised if Heyman went in as well as kind of like the non-wrestler. And I got to think there's going to be – I can't think of any tag teams, so I think we're going to have a tag team this year. But I do think they'll find a celebrity from one of those early years, whether it be Cyndi Lauper. I don't know if they'll be able to get Mr. T involved. I think Muhammad Ali would be a good one as well. But I think either Lauper or Ali will end up going in this year to kind of play for WrestleMania 1.
Well, they can't do Herb, the Burger King Herb, or Claire Peller from Wendy's.
Yeah, well, they don't really deserve to be in it, but...
Well, yeah. How about Ricky Schroeder? I think in your eyes, WrestleMania 2 should be absconded from the...
the guy we mentioned, we talked about, remember, was Donald Trump, who I thought could be interesting as well, since he had the Jersey Manias, and, you know, he was part of 23, and, you know, he's from New York. So I think you got a few options for celebrities that could go with this year. And then I can't really think of a good tag team. I just don't see Demolition happening.
Not yet.
Yeah, I can't think of many others, but I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted it. You know, to put someone who's passed away in. It's not gonna be Owen, obviously, but you know, they could do Rick Rude. You could do the Big Boss Man. That'd be a good one. You know, there's a handful of guys out there that they could put in. So
yeah,
all right, let's move on to a main event.
Yeah. So but I mean, PTB Nation, how lucky are we? I mean, of all the years, I thought I was bummed last year not seeing the Horsemen and Edge, but this one is this one takes the cake. And of course, don't forget your girl there.
Oh, yes, of course, Trish.
Queen of Stratus Faction.
Yep.
So, like I said, everybody thought last year was my Hall of Fame class. I think easily this year is easily your Hall of Fame class.
Well, you know, there's also been rumors that Bigelow may go in.
Well, if he goes in, then that's it. You're in. That's.
I mean, if he's the deceased guy that goes in, I don't know.
Out of it. You think you know me. All right. Let's talk about main event. When I first started watching, everybody was so excited about it, telling me it's a great show. You were very high on it. Here are the pros. Number one, great build show. This is the hour that you stick a lot of promo pieces, you know, the Raw recap, pumping up SmackDown, you know, fill that kind of fill. Also, kind of, you know, you get to, what is it, JBL? Normally it's Cole and Miz. I think JBL was actually on last week, if I remember correctly. So the announcing is very different. The announcing is almost like a Superstars. It's kind of off from like a Raw or a SmackDown where you got to focus on the show itself. You kind of can talk outside. You can kind of think outside the box with the announcing. So I really love that. Number two, the matches have been great so far. You know, you have the one big match. Then you've got like the throwaway match at the end. Although a couple weeks ago, people were kind of not shitting on me. People were kind of wondering. The Tensai... Titus O'Neil match from I think it was 2 weeks ago was actually pretty good. enjoyed it.
Tensai can wrestle. I mean, he's just been in this weird rut where he kind of got typecast and, you know, shit the bed coming in early. And he was a guy they pushed too fast, too hard, I think. And like we've said before, they kind of screwed him up by not just calling him Albert or A-Train. And then that led to the chance. And it looks like maybe he's finally getting it together now if they put him with Brodus. It seems like they're going to stay as a team. So maybe this is what he's best suited for at this point, is just kind of, you know, bringing back that old hip-hop hippo thing.
Exactly.
But another positive of main event is the week-to-week build of the main event on the show.
Yeah.
Which they often announce a week ahead of time or earlier that week on Raw, and they really build up to it. And it's often a good match that they give a lot of time. I like that it opens the show. I like that they have a second match that's, you know, just kind of there, but fills out the show as well. And either to put a character over or put a lower level tier guy on. The only problem with the show, and I'm wondering if this is a con's going to be, if the big match doesn't deliver, the show falls flat.
Yes. And this is kind of, I'm going to piggyback your comment with my comment. We have a very good roster of a lot of good guys. Was there any reason we needed to see Antonio Cesaro 3 weeks in a row?
Well, he's awesome, so I was okay with
that. He is awesome. But if he was the only awesome guy, that's fine. But we've got Wade Barrett. We've got other title holders. We've got other good guys. Why can't Daniel Bryan wrestle a singles match?
Yeah.
Punk wrestled, the first one? Or he wrestled one man? I haven't seen him since.
Well, that's fine. I'm fine not having the world champions on there. Maybe, you know, you almost make it like old school where when the world champion does appear, it's a big deal. Like, he only does it like once every 4 months or something, you know?
A title match. Yeah.
Yeah, either Cena or whoever the world champion is, you know, the top guys. If they only appear every now and then, make it a really big deal. Apparently, the match tonight, we haven't watched it yet, Del Rio Ziggler is supposed to be very, very good. So I'm looking forward to catching that one.
There's also a, I think there's also a Miz TV. Oh, no, there's a highlight reel tonight with Miz.
Okay.
As well. So that the Ziggler Del Rio match might be the only one tonight. Depends. But I love Cesaro, but we have a good roster. We don't need to see him 3 weeks in a row.
Right.
Have him 1 week, Wade Barrett. The tag titles, I kind of like a title match at least once every couple weeks.
Yeah, they should do one every like 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, Divas, the tag straps.
So none of the Cesaro matches were titled, though?
No, they were, no.
They're all non?
They're all non, yeah. Maybe one was. You know what? The first week I watched, I think him and Ryback was for the U.S. title and ended in a schmoz. They wrestled like four straight matches over the three platforms, and none of them ended clean. And then that's where you and I were talking about, that's stupid, you know? The general problem with wins and losses, but that concurs with all three shows. It's not specifically the Raw main event or SmackDown. So the other con is, like you said, if the big match is average, then the rest of the show is pretty much fill.
Right.
That show, in fact, the week that, well, I guess it would be 2 weeks ago, the main event leading into the Rumble, a lot of people thought, God, what was all the fluff? That's what main event's for. Yes. I'd rather have less fluff on the two shows
right. And
more storyline advanced matches. That's what main event's for. The one main event a month leading into the pay-per-view, I have no problem with fluff and build and extra vignettes and stuff. That's what the show's meant to have. I got no problem with that. So I we had a nice debate on my blog. I disagree with it slightly. I don't mind the build. It's only one main event a month, so it's not that big a deal. But yeah, my real only concern with main event is enough of the repetitiveness. You know, like tonight, good Del Rio and Ziggler, great match. Let's hope he doesn't drop to that one either. But he's obviously not going to lose.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It'll probably end in a schmoz, and that's fine. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good show. It's a fun show, and I think it's well done. I'm glad that they brought it back, and the way they're doing it is good. And hopefully they stick with it, and hopefully they keep this format. And really, I mean, it's been a while now, so obviously it's not something they're going to give up on 3 weeks in or something. So
I actually have one con that has nothing to do with the show itself. I think USA should just take it. Ion's HD, and it's not my TV, before anybody says I have the thing plugged in wrong, because all my other HD channels are fine. Ion's HD is awful.
I don't think it should switch. I think USA has enough.
Well, then Ion's got to do something about their technique, because their HD is grainy, and it doesn't look great. So they need to kind of upgrade or get their, maybe get their lines, their satellite lines, or their IP lines cleaned up a bit, because it's very grainy for an HD show. It's not unwatchable. It's just it should look better. But that's technical nitpicking. That has nothing to do with the show's content itself. I'm just saying that Ion's HD is not as good as it should be. All right, let's go to SmackDown. The pros, I love the heels on Raw as much as I love the baby faces on SmackDown. I love Sheamus. I love Del Rio. Although somebody complained somebody said something on my blog about, Del Rio's too sugary now. Like everybody's giggling. Everybody giggles now. And they didn't like the, everybody was doing, of course, the You Can't Do That on Television, references last week when he dumped the paint on Big Show next to the bus. But you know what? That's old school. And maybe we need a little bit of that. A little bit of old school booking where you just drive the heel nuts.
Right.
You know, it's fine. Not a big deal. I love the hotel stuff on Raw.
Right. And Big Show's good for that because he sells that stuff well. And
yeah,
you can pull one over on him and get that over as well. So I like that part of it.
Yeah. No, I do too. So I got no problem with that. But I love Del Rio. He's embracing this role. Very happy about that. Very happy. I love... Josh and JBL are awesome. Great announcing. Josh is getting better. JBL does kind of chew him up and spit him out at times. JBL is a very bombastic and very dominating character, dominating presence at the mic at the announce table. So Josh needs to shine his chops a bit and just get a little bit better and stop being such a mush. But otherwise, the announcing's been really solid. All right, the cons. There's too much fluff on SmackDown. There's not enough room. I have nothing against, I'll tell you right now, I have nothing against Great Khali or Hornswoggle or Natalya. That little kind of Island of Misfit Toys faction is fine. Put them on Raw where there's more time to stick them in there without taking stuff away. There's not enough room on SmackDown for silly fluff.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on Raw. I'm not taking anything away from them. They're just on the wrong show. Put them on Raw where there's more room to kill time in like the 9 o'clock hour. You know what I mean? Otherwise you're taking valuable time away and you need to start building other stuff besides that. So, less fluff on SmackDown. Kind of take away. Go on Raw. Plenty of room to do it. If you got 3 hours, use it.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of the Raw recap, or maybe they didn't. No, they stole the Raw rebound. I thought they got rid of it, but they don't pump it up as they don't have it sponsored anymore. Like Josh will just intro it.
Right.
So it's a little different, but, too much Raw stuff. My thing with SmackDown is I want SmackDown to be a more standalone show. They still have too much, ancillary Raw stuff. And like I said, a little too much fluff. And the other thing about SmackDown, which I'm not going to say it every week, but I'll say it right now, and maybe it'll – I think SmackDown's due for a makeover. Not a set makeover, because the sets will never change, because they have that whole HD thing at the back, and that's not going to change. I think the logo needs to change.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess it'd be a nice change, but I don't know if that's really going to make a major difference.
Yeah, the font has been the same now since pretty much 1999, except kind of color changes and hues and things like that. But SmackDown has been pretty solid, and the mid card feuds have been so. I feel like they've been focusing so many SmackDown feuds on Raw and not enough SmackDown feuds on SmackDown. When was the last time Cesaro was on SmackDown? I feel like he has. But they need to focus on him more instead of having Miz come over to SmackDown, because, you know, I feel like Barrett's the secondary champion on Raw and Cesaro's the secondary champion on SmackDown. So
right.
I don't know. I feel like SmackDown kind of gets kicked to the back burner because of the crossover on Raw too. I think we need less of that, though. But otherwise, SmackDown's been a great show. It's been really good.
It's always steady. I mean, even at its worst, you're going to get good matches. And I always like the pacing of SmackDown. It's not as hectic as Raw. I find it to be a little slower and more
compartmental.
Yeah.
Compartmental.
Everything's kind of fit into its own block. Like, we get this, we get that, we get this, we get that. And nothing bleeds too much. And it's very formulaic. And I like that. For my Friday night weekend watching, I like that. Just easy to watch. Boom, 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 boom. Whereas Raw, you're all over the place. You got to kind of pay attention. But, you know, SmackDown to me is a very good background show. I'm sure that's not their intent, but that's what it is.
It's
a very good background show. So.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
All right, let's get to Impact.
Okay.
There's a lot to get to here.
Okay, Impact. All right, I've now watched 4 weeks worth of Impact. Tomorrow night will be the fifth Impact I watch. And it'll be the third straight week in England, which I love, by the way. I've enjoyed these England shows. Those British fans, they're hot. So they're helping them out. All right. Pros. The matches have been very good. But the con, there's just not enough of them. They could fit more matches than they do. They are definitely very NWA feeling in the heel department. Obviously, they have a faction going around right now. Of the three promotions are the only ones with a major faction. That's, of course, Aces and Eights. However, Aces and Eights really doesn't have a main event guy. That's Aces and Eights' problem. No knock on D-Von. I love D-Von. But when you think of D-Von, do you think of a main eventer? No. Anderson's there, but he's more like a pissed-off kind of loner who's just kind of hanging with these guys. You know, he doesn't feel like part of the crew. Then you've got Knox, and you've got Doc. Doc is Festus. And you got Taz, which that was a colossal waste of time. And they got a bunch of guys in masks. And then the two new guys that just joined, Briscoe and Bischoff's kid.
Yeah, Garrett Bischoff.
So, Garrett Bischoff. The heels are very strong on the show. Christopher Daniels, Kaz. Obviously, my three favorite guys on the show are Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, love those guys. Love both of them. And James Storm is my favorite babyface. I love those guys. I love the homegrown guys on that show. So the flow of the show match-wise is good. I just think there needs to be more of it. The con. These guys can't act. They're just not good at it, particularly the younger guys. They're just not good at it. You have the occasional, you know, veterans, the Kurtz, the Hogans, Bully Ray, Sting. Like, those guys can pull off, like, the backstage skits. The rest of them are just bad. They sound like they're memorizing cue cards. I don't get it. I don't get it. Just don't do it. It's just not good. So I think that once Impact leaves the hut and goes into, you know, they're going to hit the road. That's the new news, which, hey, you know what? You heard that here on the Place to Be podcast from my PIC, right? Right, yeah. Did you say it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we talked about it on the last show. We did, and then they made the announcement, coincidentally enough. But I think it's good for them to get out of there. We'll see what kind of money they make. But, you know, they weren't making any anyway. So I'm curious if Spike is financing any of this. I really am, if they're helping out with the cost to get on the road. And hopefully they run the smaller arenas and they're smart about it. I think it's smart that they're taping two shows at once and they're not going to be live every week. I think that's shrewd. But I think they needed fresh audiences. I think that Impact Zone crowd was just getting burnt out. And they can always see the same stuff. I mean, you know, when did they move there permanently? Was it 04 when they went to Fox Sports? Is that when they went?
Yeah, then they went to the Impact Zone. Yeah, they got out of Nashville. That's when they moved to Florida from Nashville. Yeah.
It's been almost 9 years that they've been there, you know, the whole time. So
yeah,
it's that's a lot. 9 years straight in the same arena pretty much for 95% of your shows, pay-per-view and TV, is a lot. That's a lot of programming to be showing, to have the same crowd watching over and over. And, you know, I'm sure there's some turnover in fans, but majority are probably the same. And it must just get stale just working in that environment. I think it's good to get out on the road. As you said, the England shows have really helped as well. And, you know, this is their time. At some point, you're going to make a run. You can play it safe, play it safe, play it safe. But if they want to be an alternative, be an alternative and make a run at it. And it seems like this is what they're going to try and do now. It's funny, because you mentioned on the last show as well, you said you thought Jeff Hardy was going to retire soon or he should walk away or take a break. And he actually re-signed a two-year deal. That was one of Dixie's announcements.
Yeah.
So it looks like he's not going anywhere. I don't know if he should be world champion. I mean, I get the idea of the appeal of putting it on him, but I think he's probably not the best person to have the belt on. I mean, what was the case? He couldn't even travel to England, right, because of his issues?
Yep. Yeah, we haven't had a world champion promo. I think that's why they did the storyline before going to England, where the Aces and Eights guy clocked him in the knee with the with the hammer,
right,
to get him off TV for that period of time. So, yeah. The first on the road Impact will be the March 14th. That's the Thursday after lockdown, and it'll be from the Sears Center in Chicago.
Well, Chicago, a notoriously good wrestling town, so we'll see if that carries over.
Yep, and that's where Bound for Glory 08 was, so they have been there before.
So. Okay, so we'll see if that carries over then to TNA like it does for WWE, having that hot Chicago crowd, and they could use a hot crowd for these first few shows coming off. Now, when's the next pay-per-view after lockdown? Slammiversary, July?
Yeah, Slammiversary July. I think they do Slammiversary July, then Bound for Glory, which is October, and then Genesis in January, and then lockdown in March. So okay. I think that's what it is. It's January, March, July, October.
Okay.
January, March, July, October. I think that's what their four pay-per-views are.
Interesting. So we'll see then. They'll have quite a lot of time to build the Slammiversary, and it'll be interesting to see how that goes. So why don't we get to Ring of... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, well, let me one more very quick point. You and I talked about, I did want to mention this. You and I talked about how I don't think TNA acts like a competition in WWE. I think they're happy in their niche. And you said that's crazy. And your points are valid. However, every week they mention flat out, 1 week when Gail Kim was wrestling, what's her name? Velvet Sky. Gail Kim, former WWE Women's Champion. Bully Ray, one half of former WWE tag team champions. I don't think they say the Dudley Boys, but they always mention WWE.
Right.
I find that odd for wanting to be in competition. You're constantly mentioning WWE.
Well, I think it, isn't this what we bitched about Vince not doing for years, was ignoring the rest of the world and acting like these guys were new all the time? I mean, I think it's to their credit.
Right.
They're not acting like, oh my God, this guy came from WWE. What a great, what a legend. They're just mentioning the history, and I think that's fine. I think, it's just like saying a guy comes over to a new team and you bring up his stats at his previous team. You don't ignore that he existed before. So I think it's fine that they do that shit. I mean, as long as they don't glorify it, but just saying, right. Oh, a former, you know, 10-time champion in ECW and WWE, is, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. I mean, this is what we gave Vince grief for years, that he would just ignore that shit. So I don't think we can, you know, go both ways on it.
No, I didn't say that, but I mean, I feel like if they want to be such big, you know, if they're trying to be in competition, do you want to mention the competition?
Yeah, you because know? It's not like you're not tricking anyone. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
No.
You're not fooling anyone. And it's not like they're saying, oh, you know, they have a great champion now over there. I mean, that just because you say the Dudleys were great WWF tag team champions, you know, 7 years ago, doesn't mean people are going to, oh, shit, that's right. I forgot WWE exists. Let me turn them.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, and they're not even on the same night. They're not even on the same night. So it's
yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
No, I think that's
anyway, I just want to make. I just want to make that point.
Well, it's a stupid point.
All right. Okay, Taz. That's all he says. You stupid, Todd.
Oh, watch out, Scott. Watch out. Stupid point.
Ugh, he's terrible. He's terrible.
Jackass.
Just take your contract and go home, Taz.
All right, now let's talk about awesome commentators like Kevin Kelly and Ring of Honor.
Absolutely.
I really dug it. I liked, you know, coming off of Final Battle, they went to the Road Rage show, which basically is like three consecutive weeks of showing matches from the internet pay-per-view, which I thought was a unique concept. And then they went back to live or new footage from the Drew Burns Arena in Baltimore. And, you know, I've enjoyed the show. They have the New Talent Initiative tournament going on right there. And, you know, a lot of the guys aren't actually like youngsters or anything. Some of the guys are older that pop up there. But that's been interesting, too. You get that one match every week in the tournament. They have Truth Martini on commentary joining in there. They had a tag team gauntlet this week. And the winners are going to face the Briscoe brothers this past Saturday, which I haven't watched yet to see. And it was Fish and O'Reilly when that. I was shocked when they actually pinned the American Wolves to earn the title shot. So that was interesting. Kevin Steen still going strong. He's had the program with Jay Lethal. That's been great. Where Lethal's been begging for a title shot, and Steen finally gave in. So they're going to do that in the next pay-per-view. And it looks like they're building up Elgin for the pay-per-view after that, which is awesome as well because he's been still strong in the ring. And he actually beat Mike Bennett clean in a great match last week or 2 weeks ago, which surprised me as well. I didn't think Bennett would job clean. So maybe there are rumors that he's on his way out soon. So,
oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, usual thoughts on Ring of Honor. A solid show, flies by to me. And, you know, very ECW-esque. You get the promos, the local ads, and you get the book, you know, pimping the local shows, the house shows. And just really well done, a tightly booked show. And they have a weekly segment inside Ring of Honor with Kevin, and he just goes through like two or three of the big stories of the week and really gets all the, you know, big plot points across, and they use video to break it down. They do the tail of the tape before every match, which is cool. So I definitely recommend it if you get it or check it out online. You can look at my blog on Bigelow34ProBoards.com as well. I review it weekly. So I've definitely been enjoying this addition to my weekly wrestling intake.
Yeah, I got to, you know, see if I'll pay for the next up. I have the free membership to the website. The next one up, I think, is like $5 a month. The problem with the free one is you can only watch the show on like a certain window.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it goes away. But if you get the paid one, you can watch it anytime. So maybe Kevin can, we could do a contest where Kevin gives away a membership or something and one of us can win. I don't know. But anyway, it's, yeah. Maybe we could do like a, you know, we can do an entire podcast on the history of the gang wars. But anyway, it's very good, and I've caught some clips on the website, and I do like it. I liked Elgin. I like
to
see maybe be a future champion.
He won me over with that match with Davey Richards back in March, and since then I've been a huge fan.
Yeah, I'm still half and half on Steen. To me, Steen is, I don't know, not sold on him as a champion, but I know Kevin kind of gave me crap for that. But
yeah, he's been great. He's been great. He's really thrown himself into the role, and his promos have been good, and his matches have been great. So,
and he's a heel, right?
Yes. He's part of Scum with Carino and Jimmy Jacobs and Rhino. Yep.
Oh, okay. I didn't know he was in the crew. Okay. Oh, good. All right. So, we'll
and you know my thoughts on Carino with his swank track jacket and outfit. Yeah, he's been great too.
Yeah, his now fluffy hair. When he used to have the grizzled hair, now he's got kind of the poofy hair. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. There's your updates on the shows and. Now we're going to do...
You know what? Let us know what you think of that format. You know, we're still batting around ideas if we're going to stick with this kind of recapping the plot points of the show, or do you like it better when we kind of get into a couple of topics off the top and, you know, go that way. So let us know. We're always looking for feedback on these headlines. Always a work in progress.
Yeah, exactly. So, but hope everyone enjoys my blog. I'm going to try and pin a bit more on on the Facebook page and on Graham's site too, thehistoryofwwe.com. But for those that have chipped in, and you have as well, JR, I thank everyone. Continued input, please. Main event will actually be posted later on this evening. So, okay, I got one news story because this one could be pretty juicy because we haven't talked about this in a while, JR. So it's not fresh in our minds. So it's time to get down to business. All right. The WWE Network. This is off a site called it was linked from WrestleChat, but it's off a site called SB Nation, CageSideSeats.com. The WWE Network, which seemed like an expensive idea that WWE wouldn't be able to get off the ground, could now be on the verge of coming to fruition, according to Figure4Online.com. That's our guy Brian Alvarez. That's thanks to interest in carrying the proposed channel from industry heavyweight DirecTV, which has 20 million subscribers and would be a great starting platform to launch the network from. However, getting DirecTV on board will require positive feedback from a survey the satellite service provider has issued to customers in order to gauge how much interest they have in subscribing to the WWE Network. Big selling point of the network is that it may air every non-WrestleMania pay-per-view on the WWE calendar, an expansion of the idea where only the B-show pay-per-view events will be broadcast. As Dave Meltzer noted, if that takes place, then this would be an extremely high-risk venture due to it cannibalizing their domestic pay-per-view business. Clearly, from the questionnaire sent out, DirecTV wanted to discover how valuable carrying the pay-per-views on the network would be, asking, quote, how often viewers order pay-per-views and whether they would order the pay-per-views if they didn't have access to the channel. Given that the WWE Network is still set to be an interactive premium subscription channel without the incentive of getting almost all the pay-per-views at a knockdown monthly price, I can't, who knows, it could be an entity when there's already 6 hours of programming free already. As for the price points, now, DirecTV's most expensive – this is off the grid now. DirecTV's most expensive premium channel is HBO, which is $14.99 a month.
Mm-hmm.
The price points have varied from $12.99 to $29.99 a month for the network. Obviously, there's a trade-off. If you're going to pay $12.99 a month and get all the pay-per-views, I'd do that right now.
I don't see how they can possibly go that low.
No,
you don't want to go too high because you need enough – subscribers to make this work. I think if you're giving all the pay-per-views except Mania, I mean, I don't think it's out of the question to go as far as $25. If you're getting 11 pay-per-views for free besides Mania, plus other programming, plus the current shows re-aired, I mean, that's a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
If you're ordering the pay-per-views anyway, they're $55. Even if you're not, then you're just not seeing them.
Right.
Now, would I pay the $25? I couldn't tell you right now. I don't know. It would probably have to.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things, personal things taken into account. You know,
right? I mean, that's a lot, and you got to figure out what percentage of your TV watching is it going to be, and blah blah blah. Now, the idea we were batting around was, what if they did, seven of the pay-per-views on the network, and Money in the Bank, the Rumble, Survivor Series, SummerSlam, and Mania were pay-per-view only, and then you drop the price to about $15 a month, and now you're getting the seven other pay-per-views on the network plus other programming. To me, that's probably your better bet. Put the five big ones, and I'm lumping Money in the Bank. I think it has a big enough track record now to be considered one of the big five. Keep those five as pay-per-view only, and then I liked the idea you had, which was, if you already subscribe to the network, you get a discounted price for those pay-per-views, except for Mania. So whereas the Rumble would cost me $55 to order normally, I subscribe to the network, I order through the network, and I get it for $20, something like that. So I think that could work too. And, you know, people worry that they'd lose pay-per-view money, but not really, because if you get the network, you get that subscriber fee, and then if you don't have the network, you're still going to get people ordering the pay-per-view, whether it be bars or just people that want to see the show and not order the network. So you're still going to have that option. It's not like it's going to go off pay-per-view altogether. I think it's worth them trying. The pay-per-view business is slumping anyway and sinking anyway, that I think is definitely worth a shot for them to go ahead and try it out. So I hope they do. I think doing the seven pay-per-views with a price point of 15 is a good balance. I think if you get over 20, it's going to be tough to get a lot of buys, even if you have 11 pay-per-views. I think you'll get a lot of people say, I mean, you're going to look at it this way, too. You're going to get a lot of scammers. You're going to get people who order it for a month for the Rumble and only pay the $20 fee. and then cancel the network. You know, so are you going to lock people into a contract? I mean, what are you going to do? You can't. You know, premium channels don't lock you to contracts. So, I mean, I don't see how there's any way around that. They're going to be screwed on that level. So if there's a pay-per-view you really want to see, instead of paying the $55, you just order the network for $20.
I don't know. Maybe they'll do a minimum.
I don't. How can you? I mean, I've never heard of a premium channel doing a minimum contract.
Yeah.
They're going to make all these cable companies keep track of how long. You know what I'm saying? You can't ask Cox, Verizon, or whoever else to track how many months you're locked into this, unless you're saying you pay up front, I guess. You have to buy a year's worth of subscription. I don't know.
Maybe they'll lock you in for a year at a low price, like maybe $16.99 a month. And if you keep it for a year, or maybe if you get it at $25 a month, the next year you can get it for the next year you get it for $18 a month. Maybe an incentive to keep it.
Yeah.
It's tricky because it's not like HBO. Where right. You just got movies or Cinemax where you just have porn. I mean, it's like yeah. It doesn't change. So I don't know. It's a tricky thing.
Well, because we'll definitely monitor it.
Yeah, in the past, it was estimated that a charge of $14.99 a month, to break even from the lost revenue from pay per view, you would have to have over 1.05 million subscribers. That's a lot. If you have it at $14.99 a month.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen. You're not gonna get.
So like I said, that's what HBO is. On DirecTV.
Well, you have to find a. I don't know how you even figured that out, because is that assuming you're not going to have the pay-per-view option anymore? Is that just DirecTV availability? I mean, that seems like a fuzzy math to me.
You know, DirecTV is there's a lot. DirecTV's got a lot of stuff going on. There's a rumor. Is it on? Is it in this article? I don't think it is. There's a rumor that that DirecTV is thinking of letting the Sunday Ticket contract run out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think Red Zone's almost made that obsolete in a way. I mean, I don't know. To me, I'd rather have Red Zone where you flip around and you get to watch all the games instead of...
I can't sit and watch. I mean, I can't sit and watch. I like having the option to flip around. Sitting and watching an entire football game of the same two teams, even if they're my team. If there's a lull or the Cowboys are getting blown out, I'd like to get my choice to look elsewhere. And
that's why I like Red Zone. It just takes you. I mean, you're never bored. you know.
And I love the Red Zone on Saturdays with college football. That's even crazier because you've got so many more games. They're just flying all over the place. I love it. Love it. So anyway, we'll keep tabs on that because I will tell you this, though, and this is not an inside thing. I won't get in trouble for this. As you know, as I've said on this program, my company would be carrying the network. We would be broadcasting out of our facility. Their master control room is right next to my client's master control room, the CBS Sports Network. For months now, the room has been dark. This morning, as I'm walking to go to the room to cover the Tim Brando show, which is we do every morning, I saw bars up on their monitors.
Hmm.
So, first time as anything is, swear to you, first time
it's
anything.
Like Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory in there. All of a sudden, the steam's pouring out the chimney. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everlasting gobstoppers are being made. Yeah. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? Bars. I was more excited to see bars and tone in my life. But
something's going on.
So... they're doing something. Engineers have been in there the last couple of days. Our engineers have been in there kind of, fucking around and playing with stuff. So
why don't we move on to Elimination Chamber and then we'll get to our special guest here. You have the card?
Let me get to the card. Let me go to our did our man Lumpy LaRue, did he update the
I don't know if he's got the newest matches on there. I know they've added a few in the last couple of days. And it's a kind of a weird card, only a 3-week build. Quite a few rematches. Yeah, a lot of rematches. Interesting, though. Some interesting matches in there. And it's, I like that it's early, and we're going to get a good 6 weeks now up until Mania, which should give them plenty of time to get things straight because they got a lot of guys they got to figure out where they're going on that card for Mania.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's go to shows and go under the. Where is it? Elimination Chamber. Okay, we do have a YouTube match. We do have a YouTube pre-match, and the YouTube pre-match is a tag match between the reunited, as they broke up for only a week, Team Rhodes Scholars, Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow, taking on this new powerhouse team. And JR, I was saying that this team is right up yours in my alley. Two big hosses. Working together as a team, and that is the team of Brodus Clay and Tensai. By the way, a storyline that started on Main Event.
Yeah, And that's cool to see, and I like that team. I think it's a good use now of Tensai. He was going nowhere in that other gimmick, and nope. I think this is a good way to get him involved. Brodus was kind of, you know, floundering as well, and it's good to have a almost like the natural disasters as when they were faces, you know, kind of this little happy yeah. big man team. So I like it. We'll see where it goes, and I would expect, well, I don't know. I wonder if Roscoe's lose and then kind of split up again.
Probably. I think this is just to get a free match on YouTube. I like Tensai and
Yeah, I'll go with them for now, but I got to rethink about it.
Yeah. All right. Here's the main matches. Divas Championship. By the way, we have all but two title matches. All but two matches on the show are title matches. Divas Champion Caitlin takes on Tamina Snuka. Apparently, they had a scrum on the WWE app. And so
how low of a feud is this? Oh, they fought on an iPhone app.
I know. Her, yeah.
I would say Caitlin wins, obviously, but this is going to be a heat suck out of the arena. I feel bad.
Yeah, this match will go between probably the six man and either the Chamber or Punk round. Yeah, it's going to be sunk or no one will care. All right, United States Champion, a rematch from the Rumble YouTube, the YouTube match for the Rumble, and that is the United States Champion Antonio Cesaro taking on the Miz. What Cesaro did to Miz Monday night was pure heel genius.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Threw him. He didn't just slam him into the post. He threw him into the post, and then he grabbed his legs, and he just whipped him into the barricade back and forth like a fucking like a Louisville slugger. Just whack, 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 yeah, just over and over again. It was awesome.
I am going to assume they're going to play up Miz's injury and have Cesaro beat him that way. A little part of me is worried they're going to have Miz win, but I'm going to stand by what I said on our last headline show. I think this is going to be the Mania match, and I think Miz wins the title there. So I think we're going to get three pay-per-views in a row with this match, and I think this is going to be number two. I think Miz is going to be dinged up. Maybe they play up like a concussion or something like that, and Cesaro takes advantage of his head injury, and then he wins here, and then I think somehow Miz gets another match. Whether it's a straight-up or a four-way, I think that's where I headed for Mania.
Okay, I agree. I think Cesaro wins here, too. I'd be a little disappointed if Miz won, because I just don't think he's... ready for right now, ready for any kind of title match or title victory. So, next, the World Heavyweight Championship, Alberto Del Rio in a rematch with The Big Show. This has no stip on it after the Last Man Standing stip at the Rumble. I think Del Rio wins. I don't think there's any problem with that. I don't think there's any problem. I think Del Rio wins easily.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they're headed with him for Mania, but I think he wins here and retains, and then you know we'll talk about the Chamber in a minute. But I'm really curious of where they're headed.
I am too. Speaking of, there it is, the Elimination Chamber match to determine who will face Alberto Del Rio or Big Show, but we'll assume Del Rio, at WrestleMania 29 for the World Heavyweight Championship. Your six contenders. Just confirm when we click on it so the six faces. I don't want to miss anybody. Okay. Randy Orton. Oh, excuse me. Randy Orton. Jack Swagger. Chris Jericho. Mark Henry. And both members of Team Hell No, Daniel Bryan and Kane.
All right, now we didn't really talk about Swagger when we did Raw, so let's touch on that quickly. He's a Dutch Mantel with him, of all people.
Ugh, that's awesome.
Very random. Zeb Coulter. And they're ripping completely off RJ Brewer's gimmick.
Yes.
You know, to me, and I put this in your review notes, it's not a surprise to me that as soon as RJ had that special on Nightline a few weeks ago, all of a sudden it's on their radar and... they're running with the gimmick. And you could tell me, oh, it's a coincidence or whatever, but there's no way. They're basically doing the same exact freaking thing. And he's been getting a lot of mainstream coverage. And it's fine. I mean, they're right. But to me, it's obvious where they're getting it from. I don't think Swagger could do it as well as John does. Maybe Zeb can. I don't think it's going to be long before Zeb says something stupid and gets himself fired with this gimmick. He'd probably be better off on SmackDown, honestly, where they could edit stuff. But, you know, part of me wants to say... they're going to push Swagger into a feud with Del Rio because why else would you give him this anti-immigration, anti-foreigner gimmick when you clearly have a Mexican champion? To me, it makes perfect sense. I don't know if they pull the trigger this quickly. I can see it being a post-Mania feud for Del Rio. So that takes him out. Part of me does think Orton is probably going to be the one, and then he'll turn heel leading into that feud. I don't think it's going to be Bryan or Kane. Mark Henry's the wild card. I know there's a lot of sentiment out there, okay, you know, that he could maybe get hot and get this title match. I just don't know if I see them doing it. I hope they do, and that'd be awesome if he just beats Del Rio and wins the title. I'm going to go with Orton for now with a reservation to maybe change to Henry as I think things over the next couple of days.
I'm actually going to go with the wild card. I don't think – I have a weird feeling Orton is not totally on – I still think he's kind of in the half doghouse for what's been going on and, you know, with his suspensions and all that. I don't know if they totally trust him right now to be in a feud. I'm probably wrong. I'm probably trying to think outside the box. But I will, and I will take – I will say Mark Henry wins. He's just too hot right now. I don't know what else you could put him in at Mania without killing his momentum.
Yeah, so. I mean, you know, I thought maybe they could do him a Ryback, but you can't have him lose. I still think we're getting Ryback a big show, and Ryback's going to get that win. But Henry, yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. I don't. You're right. I mean, I don't know who else you put him in there. Unless you do him and Sheamus, you could do that if Orton wins the title shot and Henry beats Sheamus. I mean, they did feud a couple years ago before Henry got hurt. It'll be interesting. I mean, Henry winning, and then, I mean, do you have him win the title? Do you have him beat Del Rio? I mean, you're really getting behind Del Rio right now as your top face champion. I mean, is this the only reason to build Henry up? Is this to make him, you know, challenger of the month?
He can lose. He can lose at Mania and then win it at Extreme Rules.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Okay.
That's still a decent form. That would still be a good, solid, you know, 4-month title reign.
I still think it's gonna be Orton. I think we're gonna get the Orton heel turn. That's been rumored. It just seems like that's where they're headed. I think Henry getting over is good, and I could see them putting him elsewhere on the Mania card. But I think we get Orton here, turns heel, either leading into Mania, at Mania, after Mania, at some point. But I think that's where they're going.
I'm curious to see how they book this chamber, because other than Bryan and Jericho, you don't have too many real high flyers of the other four. So it'd be interesting to see. Usually have a boatload of them, but be interesting to see how they book each guy and how they work it. So, all right, the big six-man tag, the Shield, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, taking on the Super Friends. That's what they've been calling them. John Cena, Ryback, and Sheamus.
Do you think now it's definitely not in the cage, right?
It's not in a chamber. No.
All right, because that was rumored on and off over the last
week. That
would
make no sense because then you'd have to have eliminations.
No, well, they could have just done no eliminations and made it like War Games. I mean, that was the plan that I read.
Well, that would be awesome.
But it's too late now. I mean, if you got to put that stip on, you got to. It's funny because we were just talking about that at Breakdown when they had that cage stip added to this three-way. You know, why wouldn't you plug that? Isn't that something you'd really want to push?
Yeah.
So it'd be surprising to me if last minute they make it a chamber match when it's something they should plug. I'm going to go with the Shield. I think they need to win. I don't think a loss kills them, but I think it does take a little steam away. And I think Sheamus is there to eat the pin. You can't beat Cena, even though you should. You can't beat him before his match with The Rock. And Ryback obviously can't take the pin. So I really think Sheamus is there to eat the loss. Probably Reigns pins him, I'm guessing. But I'll take the Shield.
I think Maddox is going to get involved somehow, either for one side or the other. And, I think the Shield wins. One of these guys can eat a pin and not be the end of the world. Look, Austin lost to Triple H at No Way Out 01 before WrestleMania 17. Cena gets just triple teamed. You know, two of them get attacked or laid out, and then Cena just gets the shit kicked out of a 3-on-1 and gets pinned. It's not the end of the world. He's going to get his win at the Meadowlands. Why don't we all just accept it? So who gives a shit what happens in this match, to be honest with you, in terms of Cena, really?
I just don't think he can take a pin. I just don't.
No. It depends on how it's laid out. But
how can he? He's going, like you said, though, he's going to this huge match for the title, and you're going to have him lose 6 weeks before and pay. I just don't think Sheamus can take the pin with no issue. They'll gain nothing by pinning Cena. They're still going to win the match. I wouldn't have Cena.
I'm not saying they're going to pin Cena, but I'm just saying I personally think if they do, it won't matter. But Sheamus does. I think Sheamus gets it.
There's no reason Sheamus can't take the pin.
Yeah.
There's
no,
I'd be shocked if Cena takes the pin in this match.
Okay.
You just can't. You cannot lead into that match with him losing this one, in my eyes.
Probably not.
I wouldn't have him, his shoulders to the mat in the next 6 weeks once. I mean, you know, I can't believe I'm saying this because I don't really want to see it, but this is, if you're going this way, you can't lose this match. If he's going to be winning the world title from The Rock at WrestleMania, you cannot have him lose this match.
Okay. Finally.
That would have been like Warrior losing on Saturday Night's Main Event before 6. I mean,
That is true. And the difference, and I guess my example about Austin in 2001, he ended up turning heel anyway.
Yeah, that was a different time.
Yeah, it was a different time. All right. Your main event, the rematch of the Royal Rumble, now the belt's on the other waist, The Rock, your WWE champion, in his first title defense as champion since losing to Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam 2002. Rock will take on CM Punk, and if Cena Cena. If Rock is DQ'd or counted out, he loses the title. I think that's a stupid stip. I don't know why they even came up with it. So I think this would be a good match. I thought they had pretty good chemistry in the first one.
I think it'll be better than the Rumble. Because I think Rock's going to have a little more wind behind him and probably been training a little bit more, hopefully. And, you know, this time, I think the fans would get behind it more, too, because you don't have the angst of the streak ending. I think a lot of people were angry heading into that match. I think now that they're both kind of on a level playing field, maybe you can get into a little bit more not worrying about Punk's streak ending. Mm.
True. But obviously Rock's going to win.
Oh, yeah, clearly.
Rock's seen, so. But does Taker come back that night, or do we wait if he comes back at all? Or does Punk get involved and make it a triple threat? I know nobody likes that idea.
No, you can't. You just can't.
I don't care, but...
There's no point. It doesn't help anyone. It doesn't make Punk look any more important, I don't think, that he can't even get a singles one-on-one Mania main event. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it helps. I wouldn't do it.
Okay. So does Taker come out at this show here, or do we wait?
No. Well, no. I'd do it the night after.
Okay.
I think Punk losing to Taker does more for him than being in that three-way for the world title and losing.
I think it's key that Punk come out that night this coming Monday, and really, he's got to really hit a home run if he's going to set up a feud with Taker, promo wise. Which of course it's Punk, so I know he will. But I'm just stating the fact. So all right, so our picks: we both like Punk. I mean, we both like Rock. We both like the Shield. You like Orton. I like Mark Henry. We both like Del Rio. We both like Cesaro. We both like Caitlyn, and we both like the Twin Towers of the 21st century. Brodus Clay and Tensai. All right, so there's your Elimination Chamber. Typical February pay-per-view, most of it fairly predictable. And logically, can you see any of these matches being other than what it would be without fucking something up? Who knows?
Well, it'll be an interesting show. I mean, I can't say there's a ton of heat or a ton of interest, but it is what it is. I think it'll be a solid pay-per-view, and they've had a lot of solid pay-per-views lately, so I think we'll be okay. You know, the lineup to be good matches. There's a lot of intrigue in the chamber match, so I'm glad about that. There's one match where really, since the world title match is obvious, both title matches are obvious, I think having that chamber with the real legit speculation around it will make the show better. So I'm sure Punk Rock will be last. We might see the chamber open again, or we might see Del Rio show open again. I'll be curious to see the card layout. So, all right, Scott.
Yep.
Tomorrow night, or probably when this is posted, since it's been a clusterfuck trying to get this thing recorded.
Yeah, I know.
Is Valentine's Day.
Aww.
So before we move on to our special guests, I thought we'd do a quick little segment to celebrate this great holiday, or not so great holiday. All right, Scott, I'm going to lay it out for you. I want to know.
I find it ironic you are playing my favorite Hall & Oates song. I think why do I find this so bizarre? But okay.
All right. I'm going to lay it out for you.
Okay.
I want one person that's won your heart over that you want to give a Valentine to, and one person that could be a future Valentine, but they need to win your heart over in the next year.
And we're overreaching everything, not just wrestling, everything.
Sports, wrestling, entertainment.
Okay.
Not real life.
No. Oh, mommy. All right. The person that has won my heart.
You want me to go first while you think this over?
Yeah.
It's like waiting for someone to order at the restaurant. I'll just go.
Yeah, I know. And I trust me, I hate people like that. I have a friend who is exactly like that. So go ahead.
All right. The person who's won my heart over is the new Jets general manager, John Idzik. Looking forward to his reign. The reign of Tannenbaum has ended. I think this guy is very bright. He's been part of winning franchises, most recently helping build the Seattle team that's really taking the league by storm. He's a guy that focuses on the cap. He's a good eye for talent. In my heart, I'm swooning over this man. Anytime I read something about him, I get all a flutter. I look forward to his moves this offseason.
Okay.
The man that needs to win my heart over, the new York Yankees brand new third baseman, Mr. Kevin Youkilis.
Oh, I knew this was coming.
My longtime nemesis. One of the most hated Red Sox players of all time. The man I now have to root for this year. Good old Uke. So, Uke, I'm laying it out there. I'm putting the past behind us. My heart is open. Do not break it, sir. You big Greek son of a bitch.
Did shave the goatee, though.
He's not Greek, right? He's Jewish.
Euclid?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was Polish. I don't know.
He looks Polish.
Okay. All right. That's good. Those are two very good things.
I think he's Jewish.
All right. The guy that has won my heart.
He's Greek and Jewish.
I'm kind of. He's Greekish? Okay. Never mind. I was
going
to say something.
Yeah, I know. You're
I usually put my foot in my mouth. Never mind. Okay. Guy that has won my heart, kind of along the same vein as yours, except a different sport. The guy that has won my heart over is Sandy Alderson, because he has not done anything stupid in this offseason. Everybody thought that we were going to get Michael Bourne, no questions asked. We offered the same money as we offered the Indians. We didn't give him the vested fifth year, and we weren't going to give up that 11th pick. Now, I know what everyone's going to say, oh, who cares about the baseball draft? For a team like my team, the Mets, baseball draft is very important because it's time to build the minor league system again. And I think we have one of the top 15 minor league systems in the league now after we were dead last like 4 years ago.
I will say this, though. I think they got fucked on this draft pick thing. I actually sided with them in this argument that they actually have a top 10 pick, which should be protected. They got bumped to 11 because of a compensation pick because the Pirates didn't sign their top pick last year. So they earned a top 10 pick for not doing that. So the Mets' argument was they shouldn't lose that 11th pick because it's technically a protected top 10, which I think makes perfect sense. I mean, legit had one of the 10 worst records in the league, so they earned that draft pick.
Right. I don't want to get into sports discussion, but I was talking to somebody tonight at church about one of my brother Knights who's a big baseball fan. We love talking baseball. He thinks that Michael Bourne's one of those guys who, like, the third year of that contract, you're going to want to get rid of him.
Oh, I think so. I wouldn't have given him that money because if you're going to pay for guys in their 30s, you're paying for power. That's why I thought a guy like Swisher deserved the money more than a guy like Bourne, because you're paying for speed and you're paying for, you know, those are skills that erode a lot quicker than batting eye and power.
Yeah.
That said, I think it was a great signing for Cleveland because that team
needs
to make signings like this. I think they are a team that maybe could be a sneaky play in the Central or for a wild card. Maybe not this year, but definitely the next year or two. I think Francona is going to turn that team around. They made a lot of good signings. I like the trade for Trevor Bauer was very shrewd. I thought it was good. Get rid of Chu now before he becomes the trade deadline distraction. I thought the music was. We'll get to baseball in a few weeks, but
yeah,
good. Who needs to win your heart?
Mitch Kupchak, the GM of the Lakers,
fix this
and fix it now. Now, what? I don't know what the fuck you people did, but this is a mess. Nobody likes each other. I feel bad for Steve Nash. He's probably the one guy on the team I feel the worst for. Kobe and Dwight Howard talked on the phone last year.
Oh, boy.
About the prospects of playing, and neither of them liked the call. Kobe thinks Dwight Howard does not take the game seriously. He's a smiling, giggling with his Superman tats and a Superman t-shirt, and Dwight Howard thinks Kobe's a dickhead.
No, they're both right.
So why sign him? Why pick him up in the trade?
Oh, because, I mean, he was... I can't fault them for trading for him. The problem is he's clearly not healthy. I think if he was the true healthy Dwight Howard, you wouldn't be having these problems.
Well, he's also leading. But what's funny is even with the injuries, he's leading the league in rebounding. And
right.
He's fifth in the league in field goal percentage.
Right. So, I mean, he's still playing well, but he's not himself. Watch him. There's no way. He's not him. But that team's got a lot of other issues.
So, Mitch Kupchak, you need to win back my Laker heart. And
you think they're
going to
trade him?
Well, I know. I think they'll just play the year out, and then they'll just let him leave.
Okay.
No one's going to want him now. He's damaged goods. Just get the money off the cap and move on.
Okay.
Just get the money off and move on. Steve Nash, he's only there for a stopgap. It's time to start using the draft and replenishing. We did it in the mid-90s. I got no problem doing it now.
All right. So with that said, there's your Valentine's heartbreakers and heartmakers, I guess, for this year.
Heartbreakers. Not like a t-shirt Sexy Steve would wear. Heartbreakers and heartmakers.
So there you go. Hopefully everyone has a good Valentine's Day. And now, Scott, why don't we take a quick break? And
yes.
Then we have a trio of guests that are going to join us for a trio of different types of segments. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have our first guest on the line. Because.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What I'd like to have right now.
Chad, do you ever feel that the world revolves around WWF?
I think you mean WWE there, Barf.
Yeah, whatever, but what about David Crockett?
She likes it! Well, what about Jimmy Valiant?
I'm gonna get y'all until I get you, Paul Jones. Ooh.
The Four Horsemen.
We are a family, and we are the best.
The Omni, the Dangerous Alliance.
Please welcome the newest members of the Dangerous Alliance, Arn Anderson and Larry Zbysko.
Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express.
The Fantastics are putting the U.S. Tag Team title on the line against the Midnight Express.
Main events with actual work rate in them.
Woo! 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 All right!
It's just not fair to Flair.
It's not fair for Flair.
If this is what you're looking for, please check out Where the Big Boys Play podcast, the only pure NWA and WCW supercard podcast out there.
While you were in Hollywood making movies, Thunder Lips, I was winning world titles.
So a guy from across the pond and a dude from the south, Where the Big Boys Play. It's a great podcast. Harv and Chad are awesome. Check them out. Also check out WrestleChat.net, indeed where it's at. Great message board, plenty of topics to browse, the Still Real to Us podcast, and much, much more. Also, our message board, which is awesome, Bigelow34.proboards.com. It's where PTB really began. Written reviews and a boatload of them in PTB Nation. We have you to thank for that. Plus the territory wars, a whole lot more. If you want a one-touch spot for our show, you can head there. Also head to Stitcher.com and the Stitcher app for all phones and tablets, and more details on that. Also, our good friend Graham Cawthon, historyofwwe.com, the best research site you will ever find. Also, another sponsor to the show, the Wrestling Forum, twfnews.com, their wrestling forum, a blog site, much, much more. The guys at TWF creating a wrestling media nation, many blogs, podcasts, and vodcasts. Yours could be included in the official forum of WrestleChat.net and the place to be. We've joined up as well. So check them out, find out what they're about at twfnews.com. Also, you can check out our show at GetThePointRadio.com, my good friend Mike. It's a great online radio station. He's not in the mood for wrestling, but you want to listen to music, pop it on. He plays music all day long. But you can also check his archive on iTunes, and all of our shows are there as well. Big site.
Hello, everybody. This is Bruno Lauer. I'm on The Place to Be. You're listening to The Place to Be podcast. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you didn't know about our business, this is the place to be. The Place to Be podcast. You know why? Because it's like Mama says, it be that way sometimes.
All right, PTB Nation, welcome back from break. Hope you've enjoyed headlines. All right, Hoats. Oh, that was Hoats. The combination of Paul and Hoats.
Hoats.
Scotty Hoats.
Paul and Hoats.
Scotty Hoats.
Scotty Hoats.
All right, we have our first guest with us tonight, Sky, and this is an idea that we talked about on our last headline show that we're going to do, and it's called Half-Baked Ideas, and this is the man who stole the idea and brought it to me and thought it would be a good one, and that is Jordan Duncan's joining us. So we're going to make this a regular segment, and if you enjoy it, and you like what Jordan does, let me know, and you could be next on the next headline show. So, Jordan, since it's your idea, why don't you give us a quick one-second explanation, and then we'll get right into it.
Sure. As you said, I stole it from Kevin Wildes on ESPN. He pitches to Bill Simmons on his podcast, just basically crazy ideas that can make the world better. But for my idea, let's just talk about the wrestling world.
Okay.
All right. I got two tonight, and the first one I'll be brief with, and I just wanted to come up with a stupid one, because if you ever hear him on Simmons, he pitches some stupid stuff, all right? So I'll make my pitch. You guys listen. Thoughts, questions, yay or nay. How's that sound?
Sounds awesome.
Okay, first one. Okay, my thinking is, what's wrong with wrestling? It's not that wrestling's bad right now. Would you agree there?
No, wrestling's not bad.
I agree.
But, you know, it's got its faults, but it's not bad, like unwatchable bad, 100%. No.
Absolutely. I think what the problem is that it's very missable. If you miss a week, if you miss a pay-per-view, no big deal.
Agreed.
So here's where my first idea comes into play. I had a bunch of people over for the Royal Rumble, which I haven't done in a long time, like years. And it was very much like that. You know, we're just kind of sitting there. We enjoyed it. It was okay. But it's not a show that I really thought I'd go back and watch a couple years down the road. The part of the show that got people the most excited was when the lights went out. Because as we all know, when lights go out in wrestling, things get wild. It could be The Shield. It could be The Undertaker. Maybe Sabu's coming back. Maybe it's Beware of Dog all over again. We don't know when the lights go out in wrestling.
May the ghost of Rick Rude's going to come make out with the women in the crowd.
Exactly. Who knows what's going to happen? When the lights go out, we get excited because something's going to happen. So here's my idea. The Sci-Fi Channel, which is what SmackDown is on, has a show called Total Blackout. Have you guys seen this show?
Have not.
No.
Basically, people just do stuff in the dark. They fumble around in the dark like idiots, win money. I've never seen it, but that's basically the premise. So my first harebrained idea is this. You get some free cross-promotion with your network. You focus in on what gets fans excited, and you start airing SmackDown with the lights off. Here's why that works, okay? Listen. Does anyone want to watch The Miz versus Jinder Mahal?
No.
No.
No. So we turn the lights off. You turn the lights off. You can have them wrestle for 5 minutes. We don't know what's happening. It's exciting. Lights come back on. Eight guys in the ring. Who knows? Skull crushing finale. Boom. Next match. I think it works. What do you think?
So, are you still having fans in the arena sitting in the dark?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Why not? We could bring back the glow sticks that they didn't sell from DX. It could work.
This is kind of similar to the idea when they would have Kane wrestle his matches in red.
Yeah, it's Sin Cara in blue. We just have somebody wrestle in black. You know, that's pretty much it. I have one line that I think will sell you on this. Think back to Raw a couple weeks ago. If that Tensai segment where he had danced in lingerie a few weeks ago, wouldn't that have been better with the lights off?
Oh, can't argue with that.
Exactly.
So now how much of the show would you have in the dark? Just one segment a week? Random?
You know, I hadn't thought that much out. It's a harebrained idea.
Okay. Sorry.
Even though I don't have much hair. You know, what I do have, I didn't think that out. I just say call it Lights Out SmackDown. Try it maybe once a month. First harebrained idea.
Okay. Not very good. All right, let's hear the second one, and then we'll vote on the two.
Second one is a legitimate one, okay? I think we can all agree on this. Looks like John Cena is going to win the title at WrestleMania this year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If Cena wins the title at Mania this year, here's some stats. It will be 8 years since he won his first world title at WrestleMania. 9 years since his first big Mania moment, which, you know, when he beat the Big Show for U.S. title, was it?
Yes.
That was 9 years ago coming up.
Yep.
That's over 110 pay-per-views since then. Over 400 episodes of Raw. I think everyone would agree the dude is stale. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We talk about it all the time, and I think it's time to talk about the angle that everyone dreams of. All right. I've had this idea for a couple weeks, ever since me and JR talked. And since then, they've shuffled some things around, so I had to do some scrambling today to figure it out. But I want you to picture this. Okay. Cena and Rock are fighting at WrestleMania. Lights go out because, hey, we all like it when the lights go out. They come back on. Cena is down, and the Shield is in the ring. They've got Rock up, and the powerbomb gets hit. So now both guys are down. Cena does the one-arm limp drape over the Rock. 1, 2, 3. The show ends with Cena winning, but not looking too happy. And I thought about my big idea happening at Mania. I think it works better if it rolls over to the next night. So Cena wins the belt at Mania. Shield interferes, takes them both out. Next night, Cena comes out, addresses the Shield. CM Punk comes out, and of course the natural flow of that is you never beat me. So they set up the match that night. Big match. Night after WrestleMania, Punk, Cena, sounds good to me. And they always have good matches.
Right.
You have your match. Punk gets Cena up for the GTS. As he does, now this is a little convoluted, but hear me out. He hits the ref, maybe Cena's legs or whatever. Ref goes down. Here comes the Shield, and they attack Punk. Cena crawls over, pins Punk. Match ends. Shield comes back in the ring. They circle John Cena, and they shake his hand, and they congratulate him. That's right. I'm dusting off the old John Cena needs to turn heel for my first harebrained idea. What do you think?
I mean, I think it's something that needs to be done. And I like the idea of, well, I go back and forth on the Shield thing because part of me wants them to be on their own and not being run or manipulated by anyone. But I think if you put Cena with them, it'll keep them heel. So that may work.
Yeah. And you know, thinking back to the Rumble, I think what would have been perfect with this is when it was down to Cena and Ryback, if the Shield would have somehow cost Ryback the match, it could have worked in perfectly. Now, of course, they've attacked Cena since then, and they're kind of feuding with him right now, but that can be explained away pretty easily. You can explain away 2 weeks' worth of stories in wrestling, no problem.
Well, you could start it at the Chamber, too, this week by having the lights go out, and maybe they come back and all three are out and Sheamus takes the pin and, you know, we see them beat up Sheamus but not the other two or something like that, and that's how you kind of start the tease.
And here's my background behind it. The Shield, their whole thing is they talk about injustice. So what is the injustice? Cena can talk about how the injustice is that for years he's given his blood, his sweat, his tears to the company, to the fans, and they respond by booing him and saying Cena sucks, and management responds by trying to replace him. Because here's the list of the guys the Shield has attacked. Sheamus, who's just a John Cena ripoff, wannabe, that's what he could say, who happens to be buddies with the big guy backstage if they want to go that route, who knows. Ryback, another Cena clone with half the talent, half the charisma. This is, again, not my opinion, but kind of what Cena would be saying. Randy Orton, who's never been in the same league. Even Daniel Bryan got taken out by the Shield, a guy that fans worship, even though he's just a short little geek. Kane, a guy who said he hated the fans, but they cheer him. Miz, the guy who Cena beat, or who beat Cena at WrestleMania. And, of course, The Rock, a guy who walked away from wrestling, waltzes in whenever he wants, and the fans love him. So it's a great injustice being done to John Cena by the fans and by management because we don't appreciate him.
All right. Let's vote on these ideas, Scott. I like the second one a lot, and I think the first one works in small spurts, especially playing into the second one because you can use the lights out thing, and if you're building it, and then when it happens for this scenario, you're already kind of ingrained into something crazy happening.
And let me say one last thing on the first one. It was intentionally stupid. Because since this is the first time doing this, the PTB listeners who may not know that I stole the idea, sometimes they can be stupid, sometimes they can be fun, if you want to come up with some of your own.
Well, it's funny because it's stupid, but it actually ended up helping your other idea.
Right, see? So that there you go.
So I'm going to give you a 2-for-2, Jordan, because I think they go hand in hand.
There we go, two
for
two.
I think so, too. Yeah, an entire show in the dark would be pretty stupid. But doing it once in a while, intermittently, maybe two or three times in a two-hour block, depending how you use it, would be pretty good.
Here we go.
All right, we are crunch for time because we've had some technical difficulties tonight, Jordan. So not to rush you off, but this was a great idea. I'm glad you came up with it. We're going to do this every headline. So if you want in, let me know. If you suck, though, you're going to ruin it for everyone else, and we're just going to have Jordan do it every time. So that is the gauntlet I'm putting down for you. And Jordan, I want you to come up with a little cachet of these in case we need to call on you last minute on any of these.
Yes,
absolutely.
So build some up. And as we move along, we will be in touch.
All right.
And we'll be talking to you soon as well. So we will let Jordan go, and we'll move along.
Take care.
Thanks for coming
on. Thank you,
Jordan. All right. See ya.
All right. We have our next guest lined up coming off Jordan's appearance there. And it's time to turn the talk away from wrestling for a few minutes. So we're going to get into football. And, of course, to do that, we got to bring in our man on the gridiron, Mr. Kyle Forchetti. Kyle, welcome back.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Good, Kyle. Good.
Always great to have you on. And let's do this, Kyle. Since you haven't been on with us since the Super Bowl, why don't you take a minute or two, give us your thoughts, and then we'll get into free agency.
I think we touched on a lot of it last time. You know, on paper, when you looked at San Fran and Baltimore, you know, San Fran had Baltimore's number in every aspect of the game. But there was just something that I felt about Baltimore from the first round of the playoffs that they just had that kind of magic feel to them, and you know, they carried that momentum right into the Super Bowl. It was obviously a little scary there if you're a Baltimore fan with how Kaepernick came back and made it interesting at the end. But you know, they had that kind of feel, that Cinderella story feel to them. So it was nice to see Baltimore take it. You know, with Flacco being under so much scrutiny for the majority of his career, and Ray Rice, being that I'm a Rutgers alum, it was really cool to see Ray Rice get a ring. So really great game, you know, just as a fan, even if you're not a fan of either team.
Well, let me ask you this, because I made this argument that it wasn't a great game as far as being well played. It was an exciting game. I think there's a big difference when it comes to Super Bowls. We've had games that are well played and great, and then ones that are just really exciting. Like, to me, the Pats Giants ones are just really exciting but not well played. I thought this aired more towards that category.
Yeah, and you know, it was kind of anticlimactic at the end, you know, with the non-call in the in the end zone. You were almost just waiting for San Fran to, you know, score and take the lead, and then you know get a turnover at the end and take it. But it was kind of the feeling of that's how it's going to end, you know. But I could see what you're saying there. I think the game told a nice story, mm-hmm. you know. But man, that could have gone either way. One or two plays and had gone another way, you know, we'd be looking at the 49ers as champs. So, like you said, it was exciting. So it was fun to watch.
And I thought that the intentional safety was genius. I love that he ran around in the back and ate the time off the clock. And there's really nothing he can do, because if you get called for holding, you're going to get the safety anyway.
Exactly. And you saw linemen blatantly holding guys, you know, because they didn't care if it was going to be called. They just wanted the clock to tick off. So
it's genius. All right, so the Ravens are your Super Bowl champions. And, of course, speaking of the offseason, they're a team that's going to see a lot of turnover. So, Kyle, you have the free agent list in front of you. Why don't you name off a couple of the big ones, and we'll kind of go round table and predict where they're headed.
Yeah, well, number one, I mean, Joe Flacco, the obvious thing with him is that he's going to get franchised, but that's not definite right now. I do think he's going to get franchised unless they do work out a long-term deal in the next couple of weeks before free agency starts. What do you guys think about Flacco?
Go ahead, Scott.
Oh, I think he'll stay a Raven. They'd be stupid to get rid of him now. I mean, is he a guy that, and you and I had this conversation, JR, is this a guy that could win a Super Bowl? Is he Joe Montana, or is he, you know, Trent Dilfer?
I think he's somewhere in between.
Yeah, time will tell. Is he, you know, Brett Favre?
Well, you can obviously win with him. Yeah, I don't think he is, but you know what? I don't think Eli is either, and he's got two Super Bowl rings. I think Flacco and Eli trend pretty closely together. Guys that can make big plays, don't crumble under pressure, but aren't guys that are going to, light up the record books with numbers. They're going to be very frustrating. You're going to have, you know, stretches where they look terrible and, you know, stretches where they look great. So I think he's going to fall more in that category, and that's a guy I think you do pay if you're Baltimore. You just won the title. I don't see how you could possibly let him walk. I do think they will give him a contract. They may franchise him off the bat, but then I think they'll work out a long-term deal. And pay him. They pretty much came out and said so. So, all right, who's next?
He's going to get paid. He's 28 years old. This is his contract.
Oh, without a doubt.
Top five money. I'll read off the next four names. Ryan Clady, offensive tackle, Denver. Jarius Byrd in Buffalo. I've heard he may get franchised. Dwayne Bowe is an interesting name. There's some reservations there I've heard from GMs in terms of signing him for a long-term deal. I'll read off some receivers because I think, you know, as a Jets fan, for you, Justin, there's some receivers that you guys may be interested in. Mike Wallace, I mentioned Dwayne Bowe, and then Wes Welker and Greg Jennings. So where do you guys think those receivers may end up?
As a Jets fan, I don't want any of them because I don't think they're a receiver away. I think they have too many other holes, and they don't have a ton of cap room. And I don't think they can go dump a lot of money to Mike Wallace or something like that. I think they are better off sticking. I mean, they're going to get Santonio Holmes back, which is pretty big in its own right. And you hope Hill develops. I'd bring back Braylon Edwards, and you have Jeremy Curley as well. And maybe, you know, later in the draft, second, third round, you find a new tight end or another receiver. And I think maybe you go with that. I would not dump big money into the receiver pool if I were them. Of course, the big rumor is that Percy Harvin is going to force a trade. Rumors around here that the Patriots may be in on him. I don't know if I see him going there, only because he's pretty much demanding big-time receiver money. And without that, is it worth trading for him? And the Patriots aren't going to give him a contract before the season if they trade for him. That's not how they operate. So I don't see that working out because I don't see them paying him before the season starts. The Niners are an intriguing team because they have 12 draft picks, and you're not going to sign 12 rookies. So you might as well package some of those picks. I think they're the best fit for Harvin, and they need a receiver bad. You can't rely on Crabtree. We saw how that backfired, you know, having to rely on Moss in the Super Bowl when he just, you know, hid and did nothing, and that burnt them. If they had a second receiver in that game, it's a different story. So I think Harvin's the key. I think we see where he goes, and then maybe the other dominoes fall. Bo is interesting. I think he's going to have to take a one-year prove-it deal. I think anyone who gives him big money is stupid.
I agree. Can you imagine Kaepernick and Percy Harvin on the field at the same time?
It'd be amazing, and I think they're stupid if they don't package them. They have so many picks. I think my friend Mike's a huge Niners fan, and he agrees that he doesn't see why they wouldn't do it. Mike Wallace, I think, ends up in Seattle. I think they have the atmosphere that they can bring him in and not worry about, you know, any whatever issues he's had in the locker room. And they could use a big dynamic receiver like him to work with Russell Wilson. He just seems like a natural fit up there.
I've heard Cleveland on Mike Wallace also.
Would he go there, though? They don't even have it. I mean, word on the street is they don't even like Whedon, and they're going to try and rebuild again with a new quarterback. So, I mean, if you're him, I'd want to go somewhere that has a quarterback in place and is ready to win. So maybe Jennings is the guy that goes to Seattle. I think one of those two guys ends up in the Pacific Northwest.
I've got two options for Mike Wallace. Number one, Denver. I like Decker, but Decker is not a number one receiver. I think Peyton would love a guy like Mike Wallace to throw to. And number two would be Green Bay. Because now that Donald Driver's gone, Aaron Rodgers needs another target, and I think he would love to throw deep balls to Mike Wallace. So I think Mike Wallace will go to either the Packers or the Broncos. Welker, I hate to say this, I could see Welker going to the Giants.
No, I got the perfect fit for Welker. I mean, for a while I thought maybe Indy was that spot. I thought they could pair him up, but now, the more I look at it, I don't know if they need to pay him. If he doesn't go back to New England, which I do think there's a chance he will, I think Houston is the spot for him. They need a second receiver badly to go opposite Andre Johnson, and he would fit in their slot game beautifully. So I think Houston is the team that would pay up for Welker. Detroit is also in the running in my eyes.
I'll throw out a name for you guys. Danny Amendola. He's coming off of that big injury, kind of flying under the radar, only 27 years old. I could see a team like New England signing him to replace Welker, maybe at a lesser deal, not having to shell out the kind of money that they would for Wes Welker. What do you think about that?
You nailed it. I think Amendola's headed there if Welker leaves. I think that is a great Belichick move, and it wouldn't shock me at all. I think Lloyd's gone, and I think they will sign Amendola. Now, don't be surprised either if Brady goes to Belichick, and if Welker leaves, he's going to be like, look, you better go get me a stud receiver. And don't be surprised if Jennings or Mike Wallace ends up in New England if they lose Welker as well. But especially only because, you know, if this is 5 years ago, I think Amendola is a lock. But with Brady, you know, coming down the stretch here, he wants to win. And they're going to surround him with as much talent as they can. You don't know what you're going to get from Gronkowski next year. And it sounds like they're actually already planning to move Hernandez to wide receiver. So that could be preparing for Welker's departure as well. So that'll be interesting there. The other piece... as well as, yeah, where Welker ends up. So we'll see. There's a lot of wide receiver pieces out there this year.
There are some sexy names out there. One I'll throw out is Steven Jackson, the running back from the Rams. I've heard rumblings that he may end up in Green Bay. They do need a running back.
Badly, yeah.
I think he'd be a great fit for their system. He's kind of the every down guy.
Now, he's actually a guy that I want the Jets to look at. Because I wanted them to maybe trade for him during the year. But he's a guy that I think would fit what they need. Because Sean Green is gone. And they need a running back, like you said, that can go every down, that's reliable, that's a veteran, that knows, you know, what he's doing. I know Ahmad Bradshaw has kind of hinted that he maybe like to play for the Jets, but they pretty much shot that down. Yeah. They need someone who's reliable. And I know Steven Jackson does get hurt, but I think he'd be a good fit in New York.
Yeah, and Scott, I quickly wanted to get your thoughts on Anthony Spencer and if you think the Cowboys were going to try and resign him, really make him their first priority.
Well, I mean... I think they don't have a choice right now in terms of the front seven. I mean, Ratliff is gone. The Cowboys have got to get rid of some of this dead weight and some of these problem guys. Besides the fact that the main priority in terms of money is signing Romo to an extension, which I do want them to do. I do. I would make Spencer a priority because they need to really keep the focus on the front seven, because the problem at the end of the year last year was they had no pass rush. A lot of it was injury. And that poor secondary, which looked great the first like 5 weeks, the last like 12 weeks looked terrible, because they were just, you know, they had to keep running around because quarterbacks were getting hours to throw. Mm-hmm. Spencer's a guy I think they definitely need to prioritize and get on that in that front seven. So I would definitely give him money. And I would like to think Romo would think about that, and maybe his extension could be kind of backloaded, you know, so they don't have any money.
Do you think they bring in another receiver? Because I think Austin's gone, right?
You know, I've actually heard that he's going to stay. Hmm. I really have, because he's already gotten most of his guaranteed money. I don't think they're going to cut Austin. I think they give him one more year.
I've heard actually rumors that he could end up in Philly.
If they...
If they caught him, yeah.
Good riddance.
I mean,
gets hurt too much.
He's had some pretty good games against him in the past.
He's gotten hurt too much. I mean, I would love. I mean, of all those receivers you threw out there, Kyle, I wouldn't mind any of them.
I think Bo on a 1-year deal going there would be pretty interesting.
I just hope they focus really on the trenches in this team. Pretty solid, you know, at the skill positions. I think with Spencer, I think I wouldn't break the bank for him. But if you can get a decent deal, because, you know, Ware was showing signs of breaking down last year, you know, and he's not exactly in his prime anymore. But then you look at Spencer, he's going to be 30 years old next January. He just turned 29. You don't want to be signing players to long-term deals when they're turning 30. That's what got the Cowboys in trouble with Terrence Newman, Flozell Adams, Andre Girard, all those guys that are now adding dead money onto the cap. So I think you really need to focus on, you know, player progression, you know, grooming your own players, drafting better. They're in a bind with Spencer, because what are you going to get after you sign him to the long-term deal? Are you going to get the Spencer from 2012, or are you going to get the Spencer from 2007 to 2011, which is an average player that isn't a top five elite player at his position? So I wouldn't resign him. I would try and focus that money more on the offensive line to shore up the running game a little bit. But that's what I would do.
Quick question, Kyle. You think Revis gets traded?
Say that again?
You think Revis gets traded?
It sounds like he wants to. I mean, I think it's a distinct possibility. It sounds like he's, you know, as good as a player as he is, it sounds like he's been such a thorn in the Jets organization side. He's never satisfied. He always wants a new deal every offseason, it sounds like. And, you know, the cornerback position is a premium position in the league, you know, being how often teams are throwing these days. In terms of suitors, I'm not really sure what teams would be interested in Revis.
I think the Niners should be one. I mean, we saw, you know, some of them getting torched deep for most of the year, and you put him out there, they can completely change their scheme and really put those, you know, instead of having a cover out there and you know, mask the cornerbacks, they can let him go out on the island, and, you know, they get the draft picks to go get him. Another interesting one I saw actually was a straight up Harvin for Revis trade, which I don't know if I'd do, but you know, Minnesota could definitely use him. So the idea I liked was actually trying to sell Cromartie while his stock is high and then re-sign Revis, which I like as well if they were trying to do something like that. I heard rumors that Philly may be cutting either Asamoah or Rogers Cromartie, mm-hmm. and that maybe Rex go after one of them to try and get him in cheap.
Cromartie and Cromartie.
Yeah, or Asamoah finally after, you know, they courted him a few years ago. So a lot of interesting things, and we'll talk about this, Kyle. We'll definitely have you back on plenty of times. We'll have you on before the draft because we got to break that all down.
Yeah, it's going to be a great offseason. There really isn't an offseason anymore. You know, this is my favorite time of the year, actually. I love the draft and all that stuff.
So, all right, we're going to go ahead and wrap up, Kyle. Thank you for joining us tonight. We'll have you on again. We'll do more, definitely have you on for a longer bit of time.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you guys soon, all right?
All right, bud. Have a good night.
Thanks, you Kyle.
Too. See ya.
All right, Nation, we are back. That was Kyle Forchetti. We thought we were going to have Jay Womet on tonight. We're having some problems. It's been a cursed night, technically-wise, technically speaking, guys. But we can't get Jay. We're having some issues trying to contact him. Jay, actually, you with us now?
I think I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. There he is, Mr. Jay Womet.
Cool. Look at that, huh? Wow.
Oh, I hate the computers tonight.
I know. They've been a pain in the ass. Jay, can you turn your sound down on your end?
Yes.
Or put some headphones in or something.
How's that?
Beautiful.
Cool.
All right. You got about 5 minutes here. Why don't you talk about your medical issues and 2CW, and then we'll wrap up.
All right. Well, my medical issues, I still have the lymphedema, but they found that because of the poor or no treatment for the last 11 years, that I actually have something different called propositorum gangrenosoma, and that's where your body forms antibodies that actually, instead of helping the body, actually create those massive wounds.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
So they want me to go on a special thing where my body suppress my immune system and try to, like, kickstart it to start healing up.
So now when is this kickoff?
Well, I've been doing the different tests, the blood work and all that, and I see the doctor next week, and hopefully I will start it soon. And they all have to give you all this baloney about, oh, you could die and this and that if your immune system's suppressed and stuff. People that have liver transplants, heart transplants, whatever, go through the same stuff, and they're still kicking, so I ain't scared.
Well, you haven't been scared all through all of this, and that has been inspirational. Are you still going to be able to make it to Mania?
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Good, good.
Yeah, we can't wait.
I don't
wait
care if I
weekend.
Have to be pushed in a stretcher, I'm making it.
We will all be surrounding J.O. throughout the weekend, so we are looking forward to that. So, Jay, 2CW's got some big things coming up. Why don't you tell us about them?
Yes, definitely. They start their 2013 tour Friday in Oswego. The main event's a tag team tornado match. Kevin Steen and Jason Axe against Isis FX and Spike Dudley.
Then Spike got a retirement, huh? Didn't he retire?
Oh, my buddy Josh and the rest of the guys at 2CW, they have managed to bring Spike out of retirement.
Awesome.
He will be appearing Saturday night against Masada in Niagara Falls. On Friday night, Masada's got Roderick Strong and Sami Callihan in a three-way, which should just tear the place up. Then after the two shows this weekend, they got one in March with Steen versus Elgin for the title.
Oh, wow. That should be great.
Yeah.
That's huge. Yeah, that's huge.
And that's in Ithaca. Then in April, they've got their iPay-per-view and it's Living on the Edge Double Shot Weekend. They've got John Hannigan working both nights, a.k.a. John Morrison, Matt Hardy against Sami Callihan, Steen against Hannigan against Sami Callihan on Friday night. Then in May, they have the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in Amsterdam, New York, is their week induction weekend, and they have Terry Funk coming in.
And, of course, J.J. Dillon will be there as well at the Hall of Fame.
And J.J. Dillon.
Yep, and Chico Santana from Tijuana.
Very
nice.
He's
gonna bring his taco stand with him.
All right, so big things popping up at 2CW. If anyone's interested, you can hit up Jay Womet on Facebook, and he will give you the details to those shows, of which I'm sure he will be in attendance.
Most of them. Real quick, my friend Johnny Moose, his company, Excite, has got a show May 10th in Binghamton with Johnny Gargano, Adam Cole, Devin Moore, Chuck Taylor, Ivy Green, and a lot more.
Awesome.
So if you want information, just hit me up. And then I will be running my friends helped set up a fundraiser to help with the medical expenses, including raising $1,500 for a circulation pump. I can pass the information on to everybody. And I will be personally running a contest the whole month of March, not just for the Place to Be guys, but for anybody and everybody. Whoever donates or wants to purchase anything off of me, I have a huge surprise prize package for the person who donates or buys the most stuff for the month of March.
Awesome. And you can get all those details from Jay on Facebook. Just hit him up, Jay Womet, and you can find him on the Place to Be Facebook page as well. Get all those details. So, Jay, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Sorry, we got to keep it short. We're running a little late.
Yeah, it's okay.
You have a great night. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Definitely talk to you soon.
Be good.
Thanks, Jay. Good luck.
All right, the great Jay Womet. Hopefully he gets this thing kicked for good now that they've diagnosed.
All right, so I heard Kevin Kelly's on now.
Yeah. All right, who's next?
Who's next? Where's Matt Rotella? Is this his time of night we could drool and slobber all over the mic? Yeah.
All right, let's wrap up, Scott. A weird show tonight, but I think it was good.
I have no explanation.
A lot of technical issues, but we fought through it. Thank you for anyone who's stayed here till the end. Hope you enjoyed what we brought you. Hope you enjoyed Jordan and Kyle and Jay. And let us know, like we said, about the headlines format as well. So let's wrap up, Scott. Next week, we'll be here Tuesday night. What's his name? We'll be with us.
Mr.
Some
Hinch.
Guy. Yeah, whoever.
The
trivia winner, of course, Jay Hinchy from Atlanta. Will be joining us.
Deadly Games.
Oh, yeah. Survivor Series 98. Should be a lot of fun talking with Jay. And then Wednesday night, or Thursday, depending on when we get posted, episode 200. Finally there. It'll be a variety show. Not going to give too much away. A lot of you have sent in your audio clips. If you want to get in on that, you have the rest of the week here. So please get those over to me. You can record them as easily as you can on your phone and send it over. And then you can send it to the Place to Be Gmail account. So hit us up, Bigelow34ProBards.com on Facebook, Twitter, and at Gmail, Place to Be Podcast as well. So for Scott Criscolo, I am Justin Rosero. We are out. We'll talk to you next week.
Vince likes kisses.
Your kisses on my list of the worst fucking things in the world.